I'm James P. Friel.
And I'm Dean Holland. It's time to fasten your seatbelts, boys and girls.
That's right. If you're an entrepreneur who's wanting to take your business to the next level and have a bit of fun while getting cutting-edge advice on your business, marketing, and sales, welcome to Just the Tips, arguably the best podcast in the entire world. I guess that's good, right?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
All right. That was easy. Yeah. That was the easiest thing we did all day.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Just the Tips. This is your host, James P. Friel. I am thrilled that you guys are here with us today. We've got an awesome show lined up for you. So, I mean, many times we've had people on the show talking about paid traffic strategies. Dean and I have talked about that. We've used those things in our business. But there's a whole world that we've gotten some people on to talk with us about before, about SEO and organic and how to really get traffic from, you know, sources where the people already are. And we're fortunate enough to have a good friend and an absolute expert in this space, probably one of the best in the world. So I'm going to intro him in just a minute. I'm talking, for a few more minutes than usual here because he took a while, dismounting his horse, saddle, getting him ready in the stable, whatever he does, even though we never see him on the screen. But ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, the one, the only, bearded wonder from the United Kingdom, Mr. Dean Holland.
Hey, how are we going, my friend?
Nice to you to join us.
Well, look at this. I've even changed the camera angle today just for the appreciation of the beard.
Is that what it is?
What else would you want to come here for?
Well, you know, I wouldn't expect anything less magnificent from somebody who rides a noble steed in to record their podcast. I mean, this is pretty amazing stuff.
Well, this is what it is. I'm having to clear out space in the office for the steed.
All right, of course.
It's getting cold outside, and what with, local COVID restrictions, I've got to kind of start bringing things back in again.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's amazing. Well, the plumage is looking rather fine, my friend.
Right. Is it the plumage or is it the new angle? One will never know.
I don't know. Anything's better than what I was looking at before, so So we've got a good friend who's lined up and ready to drop some knowledge on us and have a great conversation as well. Like I said in the intro, I think that at least for me, having gone all in so much on paid media,
it's been
very easy for me to, I don't want to say dismiss, but probably neglect is a better word, the massive amount of value that can be gathered through organic traffic, right? And Robert, our guest today, is just an absolute master. He's helped, I don't know, I think probably almost every top entrepreneur I know who, when they need organic traffic advice, they go to Robert. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Robert Cannot. Welcome. Good to have you here, man.
How are you, brother? Dude, thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
No, this is long overdue. We've been wanting to do this for quite a while. I'm glad we finally made it work.
It's been a long time since I've seen you, too. I mean, in real life.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. Well, it's not like anything has happened in the world over the last year or so. Yeah.
Unless you were at the end of the show, you're still glad that you came.
Right. Yeah, that's a real test. We've got a post-show quiz that you get to take. Normally, people, there's a big difference, right? You took the pre-show quiz, a scale of 1 to 10. You were a 9, which is very generous being here. Happy to be here. Most people are 8 or 9 when they come on the show. I would say, what do you think, Dean? We're averaging like 1.6 after they're done with the show? Where 1. Do we land 6, at?
1.5, somewhere in that region.
maybe you'll be
excited. If I get there, I'll let you know before the end.
Good, please do. Yeah, make it known to everybody what your rating is. So, no, seriously, man, we're thrilled to have you here. And I think that, like I said, there's so many different ways we could go with this conversation. But to have you here and not talk about ranking and SEO and organic traffic seems like a super big missed opportunity. I know there's lots of other things that you do, you're involved in, you're a multifaceted entrepreneur. But is it fair to say that SEO and really understanding how to use that stuff is what, sort of catapulted you into you know, different networks and circles and helping people and helping yourself with different products and stuff?
Yeah, definitely. I could tell you the kind of the backstory if you want to hear it on how I got involved.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, talking about paid traffic, I was all about paid traffic like big time, probably about a decade ago. And I was so into it and I invested so much into a single paid traffic source. And I was so heavily into it, but the business was going so well. And literally when I found this one paid traffic source, because this was where all my customers were congregating, literally like this was the gold mine. And we were doing like extremely high-end like vacation rentals. And so this one paid traffic source was like crushing it for us. And as the business grew, I kind of started to neglect it a little bit. I started partying. I stopped paying attention. I kind of went off on the deep end a little bit because we were making millions of dollars and it was just like ridiculous the amount of money that was being made.
How many horses did you buy with those millions of dollars?
He's like chariots.
Yeah, he's got like a chariot.
It was legit crazy because we were doing rentals that were from $30,000 to $100,000 a night. Dollars, right? Dang. Not pesos. Yep. Okay. So right. It was legit a great business. So we stopped paying attention and literally the business went off on the deep end. And so once it started to careen off the cliff, these people started to complain. And when they started to complain, my single amazing, awesome paid traffic source got shut down. And so I was left in a situation where like I had to pay my employees. I was paying a large sales commission as well. And literally we're in a position where like I was screwed. And so I had no idea. Can I say screwed?
You can say whatever you want. This is just the tips.
Being screwed gets us put back into a PG category.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's right.
It's no, good for us to do that thing.
A very family oriented way of saying something that somebody might say differently. So carry on.
So I still remember standing there when I got that phone call and the lady called me and basically pulled the plug on all the ads that I had paid tens of thousands of dollars for. I remember looking out the window, staring out at the city and wondering like, what the heck am I going to do? Like I'm so screwed. And no matter how much I scrambled, no matter how much I tried to save it, I was off the deep end. Like I could not save the ship from going down. And man, that one situation was so heart-wrenching because I worked so hard to build that business. Like I poured my heart and my soul into it. And just like to lose it like that was just crazy. And of course, I was so deep into the partying, but still like everything blew up at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so as everything blows up at the same time and everything comes crashing down around me, I'm like, how am I going to get more customers? Like what do I do? So I wasn't like deep into PPC, but deep into the paid ads, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so because all my customers were there, that's all I did. I just went deep on it. And obviously we know what Russell says, right? But I didn't know Russell at the time.
Right.
So I didn't know like I should diversify.
Right.
And so
moment for most people, you're just like, oh man, I nailed it. Right. And you're just like, okay, let's keep going. And I think, I don't remember who else says it, but it's like having, you know, like a one-legged stool, right? Eventually it's going to topple over, even though, you know, it's going great right now. So it's, I think it's an all too familiar story.
Yep.
That everybody learns at some point. Hopefully if you guys are listening right now and you got a traffic source that's working for you, like freaking awesome, go get another one.
Yeah.
Right. Like don't be solely relying on one. So, all right. Yeah. Keep going, man.
Yeah. So that is true. Like that's exactly what I was doing. I was like, okay, so, you know, if I've got 10 properties making X dollars, you know, if I go to 100 properties or 1,000 properties, I was just like, I just need to add more properties. So literally just hired a bunch of people for acquisition of properties and then salespeople and just plugged them all into the system that I already built and voila. But somebody pulled the plug on me. So basically I'm like, what do I do? Like, how do I get the customers? And it was kind of like a double-edged sword. Like I couldn't really – it was a great learning experience, but I couldn't save the business. It was like too little too late because I was like, I need to find these customers. – And I was so hard-headed, and I was like, I just refused to ask anybody for help. Like, I was so embarrassed and like basically ashamed of the whole thing. And so I promised myself, I was like, I am never going to rely on having to pay a dollar to make $2 or $3, whatever. I need to figure this out. Like, my life, like, literally depends on it. And I've literally never been through something so bad, but I committed to learning. And that is when I was like, I need to learn this SEO stuff. And that was exactly when I started to dive deep. So that was about a decade or so ago.
Wow. I don't think I knew that story. I just, maybe, like, when I met you, you came already packaged up as the SEO guy.
Yeah.
And I just, I guess I wrongly assumed like you had just, you know, planted your roots and that's how you got started. I didn't know there was that sort of like do or die moment where paid media sort of just like slapped you in the face like that.
Yep. Mm. It was such a terrible experience. Yeah. Definitely eye-opening. And, you know, I've always been kind of, I think I told you, like, I've been an engineer, like a software engineer.
Yes.
So I've already kind of understand computers and algorithms and stuff like that. But man, like, Google SEO really kicks your butt because you don't know what's going on. Like, you could be doing something and you'll go up and then you'll fall down and you go up.
Yeah.
And so really kind of digging deep into the fundamentals I was like, man, I got to figure this out. Like, what really makes this thing tick? And of course, you know, you go out there and you read. I read everything I could and watched every video I could, but everybody had a different take on it. It's like, what the heck, like, actually really works? So that was really when I just went so deep into it, man.
And, yeah. Well, this, really, you know, it's so interesting because I'm sure there are people who are listening or will be listening on replay or whatever who are like, you know what, that whole story you just told about paid traffic, like, I got slapped from Google, like, with organic traffic. Like, why is this like, why is this any different? Right. And I think even when I met you, you know, I don't know, what was it, like 3 years ago or 4 years ago or something like that. You know, one of the first questions I had for you, like, I don't even remember if you remember this. I was just like, all right, dude, is this black hat, gray hat, or white hat? Like, what are you doing here? Is this like, is this sustainable? Because this organic stuff, I feel like there's so many people out there who are like, okay, like, you know, here's how you can trick Google and here's how you can, you know, trick the algorithms and just like, you know, dump all these links onto your page. And then, you know, it's like unusable as a user. And the thing that I loved about the approach that you took and take is it's like, it's based on like these principles that are unchanging by really understanding how Google wants you to do things and how it works and all this other stuff. And that's when I was like, all right, this dude's legit. Cause I love that approach.
Yeah. So funny thing is that was also a very tough learning lesson. Cause when I started to learn about SEO, I was like, mom, I got to help you. My mom's in the jewelry business. I mean, she designs beautiful jewelry. I was like, I got to help you. Like, let me like help you with your domain. Let me get you ranking and stuff. And she always struggled with it. And I literally destroyed my mom's domain because I blasted so many links at it. I blasted like a way. And I bought like hundreds of thousands of links. I was like, I'm going to just keep buying links and buying links because that's what I originally read, right?
Yeah.
And I basically destroyed the domain. Obviously, we got her a different domain. Like,
she's like, thanks for the help, buddy.
It was so embarrassing because I learned the hard way. Like, yeah. I was like, okay, I was like, maybe if I buy links but change the text, and instead of just having a certain text one time, I rotate text and make some general links and some kind of organic looking links. But, you know, that's not the approach. So obviously that was a huge learning lesson also. But I mean, there's so much stuff that, like, when you dive deep into it, like, you understand. And I don't want to like geek out, but I will explain all the fundamentals so it kind of makes sense. But the cool thing about this is, like, for example, some of the stuff in SEO works really, really well for funnels too. Like, if you, a big problem with a lot of sales funnels is the bounce rate because of site speed. And so there are definitely tweaks and stuff that can be made to paid funnels, like to paid, any type of paid landing page, to speed it up so that they don't bounce. And so in SEO, one of the things is site speed and usability and stuff like that. But But this, like all this stuff, this is not just like, let's just geek out on like organic stuff. Like this makes a massive difference on any paid funnel, like paid traffic, anything like that. Like all these fundamentals work across the board. And so when you and I actually met, like I had learned all these things the hard way. And I was like, I'm going like fully white hat. I'm just gonna, I'm just gonna do this the right way. And so that's,
well, because it doesn't, like it doesn't really make sense to do it any other way, because eventually it's going to catch up to you. And they, you know, there's some really smart guys at Google and girls, right? And they're all like, okay, you know, they're all figuring out how people are gaming the system, and the platform's gotten smarter and smarter. And so if you're not going white hat, you might get like, you know, some short term bursts of benefit, but then you're going to be back to square one. And like, that's not a sustainable way to build a business.
Right.
Or anything like that. Dean, what do you, what's on your British mind now?
Well, I would say, cause I, obviously, you know, I've never really massively focused on SEO myself either, but just by nature of being in the industry for a long time, you know, you of course dabble in different things and hear of what different people are doing. And, you know, SEO and trying to rank in search engines and things was one of my very first attempts, you know, when I was just failing miserably and getting in so much debt all those years ago. And my perception on, you know, I've never, even since, I still never have focused on SEO, but my perception would be from years and years ago is that I'm sure still today, as I'm sure you could tell us, Robert, like, I'm sure there's still ways to game the system today in some way. But I would say that, like, if I think back 10 plus years, that it was very gameable. It was like the Wild West of search engines, you know. Google has survived today because they found the best way of delivering the most relevant results to the person searching. But there was a period in time, wasn't there, where you could literally throw up blogs and stuff the article with keywords so it's not even readable, and you would be first page rankings right at the top, right? And I think, like, to me, looking back on all those experiences and things that I saw, is that, like, it's funny that people try and game something like this when, in my opinion, this isn't something that you should be thinking short term around. You shouldn't be trying to game a system that can have, you know, years and years of benefit to you when done correctly, right?
Yeah. Well, all right. So I want to know, I want to know this, like, wizardry that you're talking about, how to use some of these techniques and use them for, like, you know, regular funnels that we're sending paid traffic to and stuff like that.
For evil. Use them for evil.
Yeah. Drop some gold, dude. What do you got? What do you got for us?
So basically, if you kind of take a step back from SEO, at the end of the day, what Google wants to show is the most relevant search result, right? Hmm. So what is the most relevant search result to the user? Obviously, you rely on that because, like, you search, we're so good at searching. Yeah. Like, man, like, I can find whatever I want, like, super, super quick. But the problem's on the other end, right? Like, how do you make yourself discoverable? And this whole, like, relevancy thing, man, it's so murky to some people. Mm. But at the end of the day, it's really not. And so there's like, actually three fundamental pieces to this whole thing, and then stuff that slots into it. I'm not going to geek out on, like, super geeky terminology, but I will kind of outline the framework of how it works.
Yeah, awesome.
The first and foremost is, like, the most important thing is age, right? So a lot of people, they launch a new website and, like, dang, like, why am I not ranking? Like, it doesn't matter, like, what I've been doing. Like, it's been a year. Like, I can't, like, I don't appear anywhere. Like, what the heck is going on? Like, this stuff does not work. SEO is total bull crap. Like, there's no way this works. Like, forget it. Total waste of time.
Nothing works.
It's kind of like, so the whole, like, age thing is kind of like, imagine this, like, you walk into a bank and you sit down with the banker and you're like, yo, I've got this amazing new business. I'm making these ABC widgets. Like, I need $1 million. Guy's like, okay, cool. Like, you need $1 million. Like, what do your financials look like? Like, how many, you know, how much did you make last year? How much did you make the year before? You're like, dude, like, it's brand new. Like it's a new business. Like, I need money. Mm-hmm. So what does a banker tell you when you're a brand new business? Like, either you need to have some sort of collateral, or, right, like, you need some financials.
Yeah.
In the real world, obviously, you can have, you know, you can have a guarantor or whatever. But, like, in the actual digital world, it doesn't work that way. It's like Google is looking at your past, right? So, like, when you don't have 2 years of, like, indexable experience on Google, it filters you and it puts you into, like, a sandbox. Like, pretend like you, like, you know, some kid was bad and you put him into the corner of the room, they got to stay there. And everything that they do, no matter how great the links are or like how great the content is or anything like that, it's all filtered through this filter, sandboxed. So you're basically sandboxed for 2 years. And so I always ask people like, okay, cool. Like you want to get this thing out there, but like how long ago did you launch?
Right.
This is like a huge factor that people don't understand. They're like, that really, really is frustrating in the first couple of years. And so one way that I learned to get around this is by buying an aged website. Not buying an aged domain. I used to think, okay, I'm going to buy a domain that has some history, but that doesn't work because when you buy the domain, it transfers, all the content's gone, all the links are, right? So one way to get around it is spend a little bit of money, a few thousand dollars on buying something intact. I have to do all the due diligence and stuff like that, but it's so much easier than going with a blank slate.
Oh, that's really interesting. So like, okay, so let's just say, you know, Dean's got a website. He sells, burlesque dancing equipment because that's one of his hobbies, right?
Yeah.
And it's also an inside joke on the show. But so he's got this site, deansburlesque.com. Okay. And I want to.
I got a really bad image.
No, it's horrible. I want to scratch out my own eyes. I don't even know why we keep the joke going. And then I want to launch a new site. Does the thing that I'm buying have to be similar to what I'm launching, or like, is it, so, you know, would that only work if I was going to have a burlesque website too, or would it, like, how does that work? And yeah, like, what do you do with that?
You want to be in the same niche. So, okay. Like, don't buy like an aged healthcare website and expect to sell, you know, stuff for burlesque, like wear.
Right. Okay, there you go, Dean. To make a note of that.
Sell lingerie on a healthcare website, that kind right. of thing.
So same niche though.
Yeah, you want to be in the same theme, like the same theme.
Okay, and is that because like the domain name itself is kind of tied to that niche, or how does that work?
It's because it's built authority in that niche already.
I see.
So once you build authority in the niche, then it creates more authority. And if you try to go off like on my blog, Wanderlust Worker, it's like mostly about like habits and stuff like that, goal setting and discipline. Right. But if I try to go off and like write about something like random, it doesn't work, right? It doesn't rank as well. But anything that I do in that niche ranks really, really well. So you want to stay on that same niche. And there's plenty of websites. So I'm not going to promote any of them, but there's plenty of websites that you can buy existing businesses. And the cool thing is like a lot of them already have an income. So you're not just buying a great domain with content intact, but you're also buying an established business.
Yeah.
And so that's one really awesome strategy to like go fast, you know, nice. Just basically buy your way in.
Yeah.
But so that's the first one. So like age is like super, super important.
Well, can I just interject one thing here? Because I'm sure there's going to be people who are listening who are like, well, I don't know how to buy a business, or I don't know how to buy a website or whatever. And you're saying for some websites, you know, you might be able to get them for a few thousand bucks or something like that. And think about all of the time and energy and expense that you'd spend trying to get to a higher level. It's going to cost way more than a few thousand dollars to do that. Like no question. And so this, I don't want you guys to like think that, oh, that sounds hard. Let me keep grinding away at something that takes longer and is more expensive. Like it's a legitimate thing that will shortcut the process. So that's awesome. Yeah. I'd never heard that before.
Yeah, big time. So, you know, you can easily go out there and search for websites that have businesses for sale like this. And that's the exact strategy basically that you use. And so the second thing is authority, right? Like we just talked about, like if you build up authority. But a lot of people don't build the authority. It's kind of like if you walked into a random room where everybody knew each other for the past like 10, 15 years, say a mastermind or whatever, and you're like the stranger and you don't know anybody, and you know, you're not going to like become buddy buddy with somebody right away unless somebody you really trust introduces you.
Right.
So like you trust Russell Brunson, you know, you and I were introduced to Russell Brunson. So this is called a trust bridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you know somebody through somebody else. And basically Google, like, it's like, think about the real world. All that stuff is shrunk down into the internet.
Right.
And so that's how, like, you know, the link building works, right? If somebody Google really, really trusts links to you, then it's creates this chain of trust.
Yeah.
And so when I started to write on like Forbes and Entrepreneur and stuff like that, I was literally link bombing Wanderlust Worker because I wanted to build a link profile.
Mm-hmm.
And that works really well because Google trusts those sites implicitly. So when you get a big media site to organically talk about another website, it's massive.
Right.
And so a lot of people don't understand this. So like they have no outreach program. They have no method to like go out there and actually do this. And
right.
No, you don't have to just be writing on big media to do this. You can literally hire outreach websites that will do this, but you have to do it very, very carefully because Google hates any kind of paid thing, right? Paid sponsored links or anything like that.
Right.
Or exchanging links and all this other stuff that people try to do does not work. Like I got people that always send me messages and want to buy links on my site and stuff. Like it doesn't work because like if I sell a link on my site, then it basically hurts me as well. So it doesn't work. You can't buy links. You have to try to do it as organically as possible. That doesn't mean like it should take you 10 years to do.
Yeah.
But there are ways to do it, but you just have to be very, very good at outreach. And so one awesome way is the Dream 100, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So, you know, kind of reaching out to people who already have platforms and getting links and giving them a little bit of value and stuff like that.
But like your analogies are on point today.
Thanks.
Like so good. Like this analogy about like going to the bank and asking for a loan.
Thanks.
You know, like the aging, the introduction at the party. Like that's so good because I'm also thinking about, okay, if you go into the party and then the guy there is like, oh, hey, here's my friend, but you're not really friends and he ruins his credibility with everybody else.
Yeah.
Right. And so like it's sure. Like these are solid analogies. I like that.
Yeah. And so like, you know, anybody that you know really well that knows somebody else who is basically vouching for you is not going to vouch for you if they don't also trust you, right? So kind of that's where the whole bridge of trust comes in. Like massively important when it comes to SEO. And obviously there's a bunch of technical factors and stuff. But the third big component is content. And so this is like one of the big mistakes I made very, very early on was to start creating thin content. So a lot of people who are like, oh, I want to rank on SEO, like I'm going to create some content and this will rank. Like I'm going to blast it with links, some content, boom, it's done. But it doesn't work. So anything under 2,000 words generally won't get you to the first page of Google. There's literally studies done of 5 million plus first page result listings where the average was 1,800 to 2,200 words and the first 10. So like page one is 10 spots. And so you want to be in that like – you want to be in that range. So it started to every piece of content that I started to create, I started to do it in that 2,000 word range.
Mm-hmm.
And this is massive because like you can't really deliver value. Like Google wants to show the most relevant result and then also make sure that with relevancy, like it's adding value, right? Like you want to create something valuable. You can't really do that in like 500 words or even 1,000 words. Like how am I going to talk about a topic and really deliver like massive value to you when I go super thin on it?
Yep.
So I learned this really early on, and that's why I always created long form content. Mm-hmm. But the beauty of long form content, man, it lives for a very, very long time. Once it kind of gets up there, it's very sticky and it lives for a very long time. And so that is kind of the third major component. So focusing on that, but also like a lot of technicalities on it that I don't want to, unless you want me to geek out about it with you. I'm
maybe in part two. We'll have a deep dive or something like that.
Those are the three major components of it. And obviously the technicalities are like, does it load quickly? Right? Like ever go to a website and you're like, dang, like it's not loading. Like, oh, screw this. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
People know that. Right. So like the bounce thing is huge for paid traffic as well, because when you start to take a look carefully at the paid ads that you're running in the traffic and you start to see a big bounce rate, which happens a lot on paid ads. And if you notice some like 8 and 9 figure entrepreneurs, they start to do very, very condensed pages where it's just literally like a little sign up form. Like Kevin David has been doing this a lot lately. He moved away from like a lot of the video and imagery and just go into a little box with like, you know, get my case study or whatever. The reason why they're doing that is just because of the bounce rate. And the bounce rate is obviously for paid ads, it's big, but also for Google, it's big as well. Obviously for Google, you're going to need to like lace in some content with it, but getting the site to load quickly and usable, you know, it wants that. And mobile usability is big too. So.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So I want to let's talk through like a practical question. A non-burlesque question. I know that, you know, burning on Dean's heart right now, but we're just,
it's a topic of this show, really wrong.
So Dean's got an e-com company. I have one of my companies, an e-com company. And so you're saying, okay, you know, 1800, 2200 words or whatever on a landing page, like that for me, when I think about that immediately, I'm like, oh, like that would be some sort of value add blog post or article or something like that. Are you suggesting that for e-com stuff, like you would have those types of blog articles on the site somewhere to like help with that ranking, or you, definitely, how would you use that for something like that?
So like to quicken the pace of the organic thing, I would build the actual great content and I would drive paid traffic to it as well. And yeah. So as long as it creates a massive amount of value, because naturally like it's going to gain links, but it's very, very slow organically, unless you have a lot of authority and you start posting about stuff that, you know, you've already been posting about. But on the actual e-commerce site, like I would make 10 to 20 really, really massive value posts, like MVPs.
Yeah.
And actually the MVPs are much more than 2,200 words. I would go to like the 5,000 word type of range, but like, right, don't just like throw blobs on there, but like make it so that it also converts as well. So it all goes into your landing page, you know,
yep,
make them, yep, add art and stuff like that. And so I would just basically take that single approach.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, because I'm like thinking about what you guys have going on, Dean, right? With the cosmetic brand.
Yeah.
There's so many like trainings that Robin has done.
Right.
It's like, oh man, how many of those could you turn into like, you know, these 5,000 word blog posts or whatever that get people to take that first action and help you guys, yeah, rank higher for, you know, whatever the keywords that you guys are trying to compete for are.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's interesting. Just like even having this conversation, because admittedly, you know, I've just focused on direct response, paid ads. But, you know, I'll definitely say looking back now, one of the things that I look at is like, oh, I wish I'd have done this stuff 10 years ago and carried on. You know, because at the time you think like, oh, how do I get the quickest result now? You know, you're not thinking of 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, but 10 years down the line, you look back and wish you did, you know? So I think it's, the whole thing is just like a fascinating subject. Like even now, like you're talking about with the e-commerce side, like we do blog posts every week, but they're just a video with no text. You know, it's right, like we're just not thinking in the way that this conversation is talking about. It's definitely opening my mind to like, oh, we need to think more about what we're doing. Because I think a lot of it is, you know, it's just about working a bit smarter. We're already doing some of these things. We're just not doing it in the context of this conversation and this goal.
That's why you tune into Just the Tips, Dean, because you learn stuff.
That is exactly why, right, you tune into Just the Tips.
Yeah, like, I would take that video content and repurpose it, right? So have it transcribed. And right, then have somebody who's good at SEO to basically lay it out in a way that it makes sense, right? It's kind of, it's targeting your keyword, but not keyword.
It's not bombing. Keyword stuffing, right? It's like, yeah.
There's something called LSI, which is basically Google hates if you try to rank for something, shockingly. If you try really, really hard to rank for something, it doesn't let you rank for it. Because naturally, like one of the first things I started to do was like, all right, I got to have this keyword appear like 100 times for every 1,000 words or whatever it was, right? You have to meet a certain keyword density. I thought it was all about that, but it's not, right? Google understands something called LSI, which is latent semantic indexing. It's just a fancy way of saying like it knows how to compare different words to know that, okay, you are talking about this, right? Mm-hmm. Again, relevancy. So then I was like, okay, like I got to make it sound really, really natural, but still make Google know that I'm going for this keyword.
Right.
So writing for search engine, Google wants you to write for humans, but you kind of still have to think about the search engine.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's interesting.
I mean, like sort of, you know, the more you talk about this, and it's just resonating with the way in which I think about like paid ads. You know, we've obviously got a lot of clients and things that are advertising on things like Facebook, YouTube. And, you know, I always, you know, people always talk about, oh, I've had my ad account shut down, or this ads won't get through and I don't know why. And I always, you know, I always have this analogy of understanding the park that you're playing in, understand the rules. And specifically with like the likes of, you know, Facebook, you know, it's, to me, they're, you know, they're not customer friendly, they're user friendly. You know, we as an advertiser, we're the customer, but they need to protect the user in order to have advertisers anywhere. And I guess the same, is it the same with like Google and SEO and organic reach in this sense? Because I would imagine if we were to go back 10 years when the results were just crazy and it's like people perhaps couldn't find the accurate results, then people are going to not use Google, right? And I guess that's what's happened with a lot of search engines.
Yeah, I mean, Google used to do what basically Facebook is doing now. It brought down the hammer many, many times with, like, you know, Google Panda and Penguin and all these animal names.
Right.
And basically, everybody was gaming the system. It was so easy to game the system.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you could literally rank something, like, in a matter of days, which was insane, right? And so it realized what people were doing, and so it started putting in all these rules. And it's literally changed the entire playing field. And, you know, Russell talks about this a lot when he got like slapped and Google changed its rules and his ad costs went, all this other stuff. But understanding kind of those rules now, it's like, yeah, it's like what Facebook is doing. It's literally like banning ad accounts. I've had so many ad accounts banned. It's just ridiculous. But, you know, going through that process is kind of like going through what Google did years back. It's not doing so much anymore. It still updates its algorithms like every year, but they're not as major as they used to be, where it like changed everything. Mm-hmm. But understanding that is huge. But yeah, Google does it. Google did it a lot, but now, yeah, Facebook does it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. So, those are three like really healthy things that anybody can start doing. I love that idea about buying an existing website or something.
Yeah.
That's pretty slick, man. I didn't see that coming this morning.
Yeah, that was good. I never thought of that. I know.
I'm just like, damn that Robert. He's good. So I want to shift gears for a second though, because not only are you, you know, really, you know, well versed in all this SEO stuff and understanding this, but dude, you're an entrepreneur like the rest of us, right? And so you've had, you know, peaks and valleys and things that have worked and things that haven't worked. And I'm just curious, you know, because you're somebody who I know has been in the trenches doing things, not just like an armchair quarterback. What are some of like the business lessons that you feel like you've learned, you know, I don't know, over the last several years, or the time frame doesn't matter. Just like some of the ones that like really stick for you in the top of your mind that like help guide you with decisions that you're making going forward.
I would say definitely don't go all in into one thing and diversify what you're doing was one huge lesson that I learned early on.
Yeah.
But, you know, as a software engineer in kind of like the real estate space, I wanted to build something that was like amazing and epic. And so I am an actual engineer and I do actually do geeky programming stuff. And so I wanted to build a platform that kind of based on the blockchain with real estate, where you can like buy and sell real estate instantaneously, or do like, you know, fractional purchases with other people using crypto.
Mm.
And so went really, really deep into trying to program all this blockchain stuff. But I would say like one huge thing is be very, very kind of careful who you partner with, because you partner with the wrong person, it could literally destroy you. And so I have had so many bad partnership experiences, not to say like you can't partner with anyone.
Yeah.
But I know that partnerships do work for some people, but man, it is very, very hard.
Dude, this is so crazy. We literally just talked about this. What, two or three weeks ago, we did a year end lesson learned or whatever. And we had this exact same conversation. It doesn't. And I heard a great quote once, says you can't do a good deal with bad people. Right. And it's not that people are like bad, like not like, you know, evil people. It's just that
some people are just crap.
Some people are crap, but, but I think it's the idea that no matter how great the idea, the business model, like all those things, it's still like a significant percentage of it comes down to like who's involved and do they have good judgment and experience and like all those things. So it's really interesting that you're bringing that up, because that was something that we just talked about very recently, and it's absolutely in the top 3 to 5 of my business lessons of all time.
Yep.
Be careful who you work with.
Yep. Definitely. Yeah. And ego is a huge thing, man. So I think egos get in the way of a lot of stuff. So, you know, whether it's your own ego or whether it's, you know, the person who you're working with's ego, and things can very, very quickly spiral out of control. So you got to be really careful who you work with.
Yeah.
Big time. So
yeah, that's right.
That's a huge lesson for me. So yeah, not to say that I will never work with anyone again, but yeah, just kind of taking care of your own stuff is so much easier than having to worry about different personalities of other people. No, doesn't matter how successful they might seem to be.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, I agree. Like my list of criteria for evaluating people to work with has gotten more and more refined.
Yeah.
Over time.
Yeah.
And
you don't know until you do it, right? So that in and of itself, partnering with people is a huge lesson.
It is. And I think, you know, we've talked about this as a thing before too. So I'm curious what you've got on this, but having a sort of like an objective person who's an advisor or, you know, a mentor or something who's like been down the road, you know, who might be, you know, 10, 20 years ahead of you or just had, you know, lots of things to be able to say, hey, here's the thing that I'm thinking about doing and people I'm thinking about working with, you know, what do you think?
Yeah.
Right. Because you don't have to learn all of this by mistakes. It's
no, you don't. Definitely. You
know, but 100%. But a lot of us do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a really important one. I'm glad you brought that up because, everything always seems fun and exciting at the beginning.
Yep.
And then the shit hits the fan and it's like, oh man, this went from like fun and exciting to my worst nightmare almost immediately.
I think also when the number of partners is greater than 2, anything can happen, because you can have a very, very successful partner and another one that's also kind of pretty successful, you think, and shit could still hit the fan and you just don't know like what will happen. And so, especially when you have another partner that's extremely successful, and you know when they're that successful, they're not going to pay that much attention to the day to day. So again, you have to just be careful who you partner with, and just watch out. So
yeah.
It's funny. Like I think a lot of people seem to go into partnerships easier than they would any other relationship. You know, if you're going to hire somebody to work for you, you'd usually maybe go and check for some references. Like, let me, you know, if I'm going to hire this person, let me go and see what they were like in their last job and let me ask around. But funny enough, people are going to get into bed and go into whole business ventures just on, oh, hey, man, I got a great idea. Do you want to go together on it? Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like some of the questions that I ask now is like, is this guy's ego so big he has to ride a horse into his podcast? You know? It's just like those are the things you don't know to ask until it happens.
It's funny though. That's one of the criteria you look for. You're like, I want this.
It is. That's why we're still doing this again. And I can't find anybody else who rides a horse into their podcast. So that rules everybody else out. Oh my God.
I could put me in this role.
What else? Anything else come to mind in terms of like, you know, just lessons learned from, you know, from victories and I mean, there's, you know, lessons learned from battle scars, but there's also lessons learned from victories as well.
I think, you know, the biggest thing is go out there and kind of give value, because the whole like the power of reciprocation is massive. I think for one thing for me that like I will always hold with me is to go out there and give as much value as possible. Because when I basically started writing for big media and I got into another partnership that kind of collapsed, where I was thinking like, I'm going to go do this whole like vacation thing again and basically had the business taken from me, was I just went out there and I was like, all right, I'm just going to go start giving value to every single person I know. That's kind of like when I met Russell and all these other kind of great people like Roland Fraser, Ryan Dice, Perry Belcher. I basically just started writing articles about them, not really like thinking that I would, that anything would kind of come in return. I think the biggest problem that like most people have is that they are scarcity minded. And when you are kind of scarcity minded, you don't want to go out there and think to help other people. Like if I were starting any kind of business, I would literally just go and go do those services for free for really, really well-known people so that, you know, eventually that would kind of come back and trickle down. And it does in a big way. It's so much easier than like go get a, you know, 9 to 5 or like work for menial pay for somebody else. So by giving massive value to people, like ultimately it comes back, right? The power of reciprocity is huge. And I don't think I need to kind of tell you guys that, but that's, I would definitely recommend that. So like if you're out there and you're just starting out as like an entrepreneur, you just want to kind of build a business, a side hustle or whatever, like go reach out to like really, really well-known popular people or even big businesses and just go hustle and do the work for free. And yeah, it's so counterintuitive because you're like, why would I go and do stuff for free? But something crazy happens when you help people, right?
Yeah.
And you're not really, and you go out there without the expectation of anything in return. And you can't say to yourself, oh man, like I helped this person and like I got nothing out of it. Like if you have that mindset for even a moment, then it doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Not to get off this lesson, but I just noticed we had a really good question in the comments here, going back to some of the SEO stuff.
Two questions.
All right. Well, I guess there are two questions here. So Roger has a question. He says,
there's people listening to this right now?
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely.
There's about a million people right now in Chen's house.
Yeah, no, they're people listen for sure. So, and it's not just Dean's mom anymore. It was Dean's mom up until just last week. So, like, we got a second listener today.
So we lost the mom, so we're back down to one.
right. Yeah, she stopped listening. So he said, if I get an old site, do I need to just mask the domain or must I keep the original domain?
No, you have to keep the domain.
Right.
You can't like try to mask it or redirect it or anything. It doesn't work. So basically that specific domain and the pages and the content, which already have links and authority out there,
yeah,
you cannot match those because Google has a historical indexing of all of it, right?
That's part of the aging that they like.
Yeah. So you can't really circumvent that as much as you want to try to circumvent it. Like, go get the domain with the content that's already established and, you know, already kind of ranking in that niche for stuff. Doesn't have to rank number one. You know, you use that as like your starting point. You can't try to change the domain or any of that other stuff.
Yeah.
That's literally the strategy that works. Like, that'll literally shave years off of your schedule. And depending on the domain that you get, I mean, gosh, it could totally catapult you forward.
Yeah. And just for anyone listening, I don't know, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this team, but is deansburlesque.com for sale right now?
No,
it's not. All right. I misspoke. I apologize to everybody.
There's a tool called the Wayback Machine.
Yeah.
And the Wayback Machine is, you can literally go and see the history of any domain and you can see like these little bar graphs, like, did it grow? Like if you type in Amazon, you'll see it's like goes like
right.
That. But these bar graphs are really important because sometimes like if you type in a domain in the Wayback Machine, you'll see where it like went up and then it went down, went up and went down. But like if you ever see it went down and then went all the way, it went up and then went all the way down, that could be a Google penalty. So it's kind of, you have to be really careful.
Oh,
again, there's all these geeky technicalities that you have to look out for. You will never know if you're buying a domain that was once penalized. So you have to do the right amount of research. It's not like, oh, let me go out there and buy a domain.
Uh-huh.
You don't do it the right way. You just blew your money for nothing.
Right.
So you have to do the research the right way. There's a lot of tools like that to use. And you can use like, you know, SEMrush and other SEO tools to actually look at like the links and how much authority those links had over time. So you got to do it carefully. It's not just like, I'm going to buy a domain that's 3 years old and let's go.
Right.
Like you have to
actually be good, right?
Don't try to do it by yourself. Like go find somebody who understands this stuff. And
And then we got one more question I want to get in here too. I think I know the answer to this, but I want to make sure. Does the 2000 word articles, those page, they have to live on the main page or can it be on a sub page within the site?
What do you mean subpage?
Like, you know, like is, it doesn't have to be on like the homepage, or can it be whatever.com/article?
Yeah, of course. It has to be on like /article. Like it's not going to just be on the homepage.
Yeah.
You want actually, but one thing that I see a lot of people making this mistake is like, they'll do like blog.whatever.website.com, whatever, like blog.clickfunnels.com or something like that. That is a mistake. Don't want to do that. Because then you're starting all over. You're basically, the subdomain needs to create its own authority.
Because it's a new domain, right?
Yeah. So build the blog on like mywebsite.com/blog. Don't do blog.mywebsite.com.
Yeah. Right.
Because it won't work. Like you want to build authority for the domain, not try to create a subdomain. As much as you might be like, oh, the technologies don't work together and stuff like that. Like you have to figure that out.
Yeah.
And do the content on the actual domain. Don't do a subdomain. But yeah, it can be, you know, /, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, that's really awesome. So we do have a few more minutes, but before I, you know, kind of forget, you know, you've got a book that goes through some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like where else can people find out this information if they want to dig deeper and, you know, kind of understand how to play this game?
Anybody who wants a copy of the book, I can send them out. I'll send out 50 copies for free. Just email me at robert@outrankfast.com. So this one book, Ranking Secrets, kind of tells you all of the fundamentals of how to rank on SEO. So if that matters to you.
Yeah, no, that's freaking awesome. I love that. Yeah. So well, it can't get any easier than that. Just send Robert an email. What is it? Robert@outrankfast.com?
Robert@outrankfast.com.
Yeah, there you go. And say, hey, dude, I heard you on Just the Tips, and I'd love to accept your generous gift of a free book.
Make sure that you say it's from Just the Tips or you're not getting the book.
Yeah, that's right. That's right for the two people listening. no, that's amazing. I think there's so many – it feels like, you know, in hearing you talk about this, none of this is like complicated, or at least maybe just it's just because you know it so well, it doesn't feel complicated. But there's like all these little things that you still need to remember, because I see so many people who are like blog.whatever.com.
Yeah.
And you know, you're setting that up, or you're subcontractor that you hired from Upwork or whatever, and you're like, hey, get me like my blog up, and he's like, okay, it's ready, and everybody's excited and they're like, yeah, we got it, it's, you know, blog.deanholland.com, and next thing you know, you're just like, wow, why isn't this working at all? And it's just like that little thing of, it's not necessarily that much more complicated, but it's something that you might not remember to do.
There's so many like nuances with it, and if you don't kind of understand the nuances, you're totally just wasting your time. Same thing with writing copy or using story to sell stuff. There's always nuances, right? You know, kind of breaking and rebuilding somebody's belief about something.
Yeah.
There's always nuances involved. SEO is the same thing. So if you don't understand the nuances, you're basically like going in really deep and wasting your time. So understand the nuances first before you try to do it, or else it's time and money. I mean, with paid ads, you're basically just spending money, but with SEO, it's time, and time is way more valuable than money. So
no doubt.
Be careful, right? You know,
what you do. No, that's awesome. Dean, what do you got for parting shots or last thoughts or questions before we wrap this up?
I know we don't have much time, but there's just, you know, going through this whole conversation, like so one question on my mind, and maybe some people listening, is like, is it too late to compete in the world of SEO now? Like, say if I'm in a cosmetics business, like cosmetics, huge industry, huge niche. Listen to this show. I'm thinking, oh yes, like I've really missed the ball on SEO. Am I too late to compete? Is it possible for little old me to now start playing this game, or no, really, I guess would be the simple question.
Yeah, I mean, big time. I mean, if you have a domain that you're married to, which most brands, existing brands already do. And if it's, first of all, if you kind of past that age threshold of 2 years, that's one thing. But most people don't, because usually when they're coming in, they don't really have much history.
Right.
But there are so many ways to kind of accelerate your progress, which we don't have time to discuss. But yeah, there's a ton of ways to do it and crush your competition. And so we do this for clients all the time. So there's definitely ways to make it go really, really fast if you know what you're doing,
right,
without going black hat.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's and I'm glad you said that. So, in addition to the generous offer for the free book, is this something that you help certain people with? If people are listening and they're like, "Hey, you know what? You know, the free book sounds amazing, but just getting Robert in here to actually help us do it, like, is that an option for people?"
Yeah, for sure. Just head to outrankfast.com, and if you need help, we do a free video audit of the website. So basically, we walk through the actual website and tell you, like, "Hey, like, this is what's screwed up and this is how to fix it." And you don't even have to hire us to do it. But, you know, we're at kind of like a really high level. So we take on clients at 15 and 25K a month. And so if you have that money to spend, we're more than happy to help you. If you don't, happy to do a free audit and help you walk through and figure out what's messed up and how to fix
it. No, that's amazing. I think that's great. Something for everybody right there. From the free book to free audit to help if you're, you know, at a level that you can support that. So, we're going to wrap it up here, man. Dude, it's so good seeing you. So good to connect. I'm really, really happy we're able to make this happen. And I think just, you know, going through your book and your content, like the analogies and the ways that you're looking at this stuff. And I love the thing that you brought up where this is, it's not like, oh, do SEO or paid traffic. I feel like you've got such a balanced approach to, well, you can do both and it doesn't have to take forever to do the SEO stuff. So like, why not create that stable foundation? It's just such a fresh perspective and I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah. It converts really, really well on organic. So I think you're kind of missing the boat if you are running paid ads, like a lot of the people we work with are running paid ads.
Yeah.
To not go into organic because it converts so much higher. I always pass the ads when I look for something and go to the first organic listing, which a lot of people do, but
I do too. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm just like, even if it's the same thing, as a marketer, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to click. I'm just going to go to the organic because I don't want to pay for the click.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah. Like I'm a polite browser or something. I don't know. It's really weird. But if you guys need some help with this, Robert's the man. Make sure to go to outrankfast.com. If you want to take advantage of the free book, just email him, robert@outrankfast.com. Tell him you came from Just the Tips. We're going to wrap it up here. Dean, are you going to saddle up and get out of the studio now? Or like, what happens to you now? I've never really asked that question.
Yeah. It's time to jump on the saddle, I think, and get out of here.
All right. Awesome. Well, have a great day. We appreciate you guys listening. Thanks for being here. We will be back next week with another amazing show and we will talk with you guys next time. Later, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Just the Tips, where we believe business should be profitable and fun. For show notes, links, and other information on our guests, visit justthetipsshow.com. For more information on how to connect with Dean Holland, visit deanholland.com. And if you'd like to go from being a hustling entrepreneur to an effective CEO capable of running your company without being stuck in the day-to-day, visit me for free training and resources at jamesbfreel.com. Our theme music is Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.